The Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers, with peace and discernment. Well, an interesting topic came up today. My heart has been aching for our enemies. Basically, the three covens that I'm aware of, there's probably more, but right here in the area, there are three covens. And I'm just concerned for them. I have a real soft spot in my heart for them, that where they're headed is a terrible, terrible place. And I believe it's a grace that the Lord gave me. Last night I was praying for one elderly woman specifically, really hoping that somehow God would get through to her how much he loves her. Even with all the abominations she's done, he still loves her very much. And I don't know what turned her against God. I have no idea. But it couldn't have been something about him. It had to be some misconception of who he is. It had to be something evil that was blamed on him, or a weakness that man had in sin in the name of Christ, which is ridiculous, because that doesn't belong to Christ. Sin does not belong to him. Love, compassion belongs to him, but not sin. But so many people have been wounded by sin, even in the church. And as a result of that, they end up coming against the Lord in Satanism. John Ramirez, for instance, who wrote several books, he tried to find the Lord in a church, but the pastor walked right by him and hugged everyone else but didn't touch him, and it broke his heart. And that was the end for him. And Satan came and offered himself as the father that he never had, because, of course, his father was brutal and an alcoholic. But Satan came along and was compassionate and loving and gentle and promised him things. And we know all of that was fake, because that's not where Satan's at in the long run. All those things, first of all, he doesn't have any kind of life after this earth when the Lord cleanses it. He's going to be in jail forever. So those things are all bogus. But people don't know that. And sometimes they're so embittered by the wrongs done to them under the guise of Christianity that they come right back up against Christianity. But the Lord right now is asking us to love our enemies. He's telling us, love for our enemies, genuine, heartfelt, real love for our enemies, is the sign of a true Christian. And this came through Father Ezekiel today when he was in the Passion. The Lord looked down at him from the cross and told him some things. And he did say that he's calling us to love our enemies, to be a true Christian and to love our enemies, and that other Christians who say they love him, but they are enemies of the cross because they don't care for their enemies, they don't love them. So I'll go ahead with notes I've taken down here. The Lord began, "Yes, my love, grace is indeed being distributed to my saints for their enemies. Many say they love me, but have made themselves enemies of the cross. Suffering is a foreign concept to them, even though my life was full of it. Still, they are seeking their ease and prosperity. Western culture has replaced the culture of the cross. Now life is all about who can accumulate the most power and money, who can be acclaimed as the most beautiful, who can live in the greatest luxury with garages full of sports cars, while their ancestors in countries around the world suffer stifling poverty. The cross means nothing to the contemporary Western church that sees itself as the harbinger of wealth and prosperity. This is another reason for this war." This is still Jesus speaking. "Doctrine has been turned upside down and lies prevail. This is why the church is an easy target for the Antichrist. All have drawn together despising poverty and lusting after worldly goods. Well, they are about to see how far this twisted concept of holiness takes them. My people, where did you get the concept of prosperity ruling in this world? Certainly not from my life. Those in the Bible that people looked up to were corrupted to the core, murdering infants, enslaving even the elderly, extracting their livelihoods for their opulence. And you admire and emulate these? I made it so very clear in my Gospels that those who coveted worldly honors, money, and power would die a wretched death with worms feeding on their luxuries and eating away at their brains. And yet you follow their example of oppressing the poor, the widow, and the alien, and keeping for yourselves the hard-won sustenance and wages that barely covered their needs? The ones I'm looking for to be taken in the rapture are loving, just, and concerned with my concerns, the poor, the oppressed, the little ones. They are busy attending to their needs as much as is humanly possible. They care nothing for the trappings of luxury and status symbols others dream of having. Rather, they find it hard to sleep at night if they are forced by circumstances to pass by one needy soul. My church is going to be holy and pure. No longer will clerics lust after ornate trappings and cathedrals. Rather, they will see the poorest beggar walk in the door as their greatest asset. Be not conformed to this age. Do not follow the ways of the powerful, for when I come, the entire system will be topsy-turvy. Lord, I don't understand. You once showed to me a most elaborate and costly vestment that would be worn by a pope someday. I don't see how that can happen and the church still be holy according to what you are saying now. Jesus replied, "This is a very good point, but you will notice that those who I choose have absolutely no longing for such finery. It is totally against their concept of holiness." And I answered him, "Lord, all I want to do day and night is sit here and take down your words. I am so in love with you. And I am in love with you for the very same reasons. Yet you will see the justice in this at the very final end. Claire, beloved, poverty will not exist any longer. All will be gloriously provided for, satisfied, and happy with what they have and even with what they don't have. Then you will understand, because there will be no such thing as poverty or lack." "Oh, Lord, that is truly glorious." "Yes, it is," he answered. "An end to striving and delirious joy and sufficiency with an eye to scorning luxury. You cannot even imagine it now, but justice will be so very abundant, it will overtake many with indescribable joy. My dearest, you cannot see or imagine now how much the world has suffered from greedy men and women who mercilessly stole from the poor, leaving them impoverished to the point of starving their children. Lord, I wish I could speak to those working for the beast system, those who have bought into the lies and see it as their final solution. And here I was thinking of a man who was standing by our telephone pole putting in some kind of apparatus behind our house. I looked at the man. He didn't look like an electrical worker. He looked more like an FBI agent or something. Did not look like an electrical worker. And I just had the very strongest feeling that they were listening in on what goes on in our house, which is fine. I'm hoping maybe it'll draw them to the Lord. We don't have guns and we don't condone violence or anything like that. So who knows why he was there. But I wish I could speak to them. I wish I could speak to those working for the beast system, bought into lies. Yes, these are the ones, Jesus said, listening in tapping phones, collecting emails and conversations that will someday be used to condemn the innocent. There are two incentives they are trapped in. One is to succeed in the world, and the other is to be on the winning team. They have not stopped to consider injustices practiced against the rights of men and women to justify a totalitarian government which has never worked, nor will it ever work. Men and women long for freedom, and no one will ever succeed in taking their free will, which I will not even transgress. Oh, dear children of this world, please look beyond your need for acceptance and success and examine how these governments end. They always exploit the common man and take more than they give, setting themselves up to siphon off the cream and leave the dregs for others. God does not do that. He rewards those who are honest and truly looks after the cares of the needy. He is calling out to you, young ones, in your early 30s, working for the elite. He's calling out, asking you to go deeper and see where this oppressive totalitarian government leads to time after time after time. It always goes askew. It always preaches sufficiency for everyone. But look at the fruits of every kingdom that's been built on it. It's abject poverty. Cuba right now is an absolute total wreck because people don't bother to come and fix different things in their houses because the government won't pay for it. And you can't get permission. There's so much red tape, you could circle the world with it. They always exploit the common man and take more than they give. God does not do that. He rewards those who are honest and truly looks after the cares of the needy. He is calling out to you, young ones, working for the elite. He is calling out and asking you to go deeper and see where this oppressive totalitarian government leads to, time after time, century after century, kingdom after kingdom. Oh, please use your freedom while you still have it to go deeper and seek true justice. And that was the end of the Lord's message. That last paragraph was me, not him.